The Bible talks, a lot about prophecy. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the nation Israel, in particular, mostly? What's going to happen to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people? And what's going to happen to the church? And Jesus, in chapter 21, addresses disciples' question. It's interesting, as they were looking at the temple and the beauty and the adornment of the temple and the massive stones, that, Jesus using it as occasion to say, not one stone will be left upon another. And again, what he was saying was, he was referring to massive stones. Josephus talks about how big they were, 40 cubits by 10 cubits, 60 feet long by 15 feet high. Massive stones, one upon another. And when he said not one stone will be left upon another, the disciples thought, man, how can that be? Certainly this has got to be the end of the world, because it's going to take some kind of major, happening to bring down this temple. So they asked the question about, when this, Jesus referring to the destruction of the temple and the end times, and when and what will be the signs of this. And then Jesus setting forth, as he does more explicitly in Matthew 24, but shares prophecy regarding, the destruction of the temple and the prediction of, the desolate destruction of Jerusalem. Now, mainly when we look at prophecy in the Bible, the Bible, as Dave Hunt says, if you want to know about prophecy, look at Israel. Refers to the Jew, refers to the nation Israel. Most of the prophecy in Scripture regards the nation Israel. And, and nations that relate to the nation Israel. And in this chapter, it's mostly about, the Jew. It's about the Jewish nation. But also, just like many of the prophecies in Isaiah, Jeremiah, the old prophets, major prophets, how they prophesy about what's going to happen, the judgment to come to Israel by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians. And there's a double meaning. It's referring to not only, Israel's judgment coming upon Israel, but also transcending time, as the Holy Spirit does, and how Jesus is going to do here, refers to the church and at the end. So we got to be kind of cool as we go through here and, look at what really is about the Jew, what is about the Jewish nation, and what really relates to the church. But end times, what's going to take place, and what the prophecy pertains to. The Bible tells us that things are going to get worse. Evil wax evil. Worse and worse will things get. We are experiencing things getting bad, and we've seen things getting worse or worser as we've witnessed things in the last decade. And especially in my lifetime, I've seen so much degenerate, and how morally this country is falling, but worldwide, how anti-Christ, secular humanism has become, and how its influence and persuasion on people, on rulers, on the majority. Things are going to get worse as time goes on, the Bible tells us. Last week, we looked at a prophecy in Daniel regarding, you remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream or his vision, a head of gold, breastplate of silver and bronze and ironing toes mixed with clay, and how he interprets Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and it refers to world empires. But again, the part of the vision in Daniel 2, we're going to get into some more when we get in Daniel. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. He declaring the certainty of what's up and coming, and regarding the worldly kingdoms, and but especially how, you know, the stone coming out of the sea representing Jesus Christ, we looked at our cornerstone last week, and how it demolishes the world kingdoms. And prophecy on the big plan of the ages, the prophecy timetable and the panorama view of prophecy. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that judgment's coming first and then Jesus will return. Judgment on the nation Israel. Judgment on the world. And, you know, when Jesus predicts and prophesies about these things, we're just going to highlight a few things here. He refers to them as these things. Beginning in between 8 and 11, just to touch on a few things, these things that will take place, these signs at the end, false Christ, spiritual deception. Yesterday I was, you know, came out of the shower, I was putting my socks on, I was sitting on my stairway, had the front door open, beautiful, cool breeze, and there they were again, Jehovah Witnesses. They come down our block and they blanket. I mean, they're like ants. They come and they invade our neighborhood, like once a month. And I'm thinking, you know, I start praying against the influence. They don't come to our house anymore for some reason. But I want them to. And I'm thinking about, you know, how the deception, they're knocking on the door, and that persuasion, that deception, you know, bombarding our neighbors. And spiritual deception, one of the signs of on the rise in the end. Jesus said, you know, false Christ will arise. Don't go after them. Don't be persuaded. Don't swallow it up. Wars and one nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Speaking of really world wars. In our century, 2 world wars and another one's coming. A doozy's coming. The Bible tells us these are things that will take natural disasters. You know, earthquakes in various places. Mother Nature is whacked out. We've seen how, you know, we experience summer at the tail end of winter. And the trees are confused. They're budding. We have a snowball flower in our backyard. It don't know what to do. It usually produces flowers. And it's got a few dwarfs, and it's freaking out. Mother Nature's freaking out. Trees are budding too quick in advance. It gets cold, and then it rains like buckets. We had a tornado in Dexter at the end of March. In March, we had a tornado in Dexter. You know, these are weird signs, end times signs, pestilence, strains, you know, HIV virus, but these super viruses, things are getting worse, things are scaling up. We witness it in our lifetime. We're getting inoculated to it. It's getting so bad, so fast, we're just looking at it, and we're getting numb. And yet, Jesus spoke about them, you know, over 2,000 years ago. Signs in the heavens. This is when it gets really hairy, crazy. And we'll look at it a little more in detail. He transitions from some of the signs at the end to personal treatment. And this is mostly Jewish. But he says that, you know, there'll be persecution. You'll be persecuted. You know, you're going to be arrested and imprisoned. You're going to be hated and betrayed. You know, the treatment, in the Bible tells us in the New Testament, you know, in the book of Thessalonians, we also are going to get, you know, the hatred crimes. now they're being, you know, we've seen them in the movies depicted, you know, and now they're transpiring before us. You know, if you take a stand for Jesus Christ, if you say Jesus Christ is the only way, if you hold to the cross and the message of the Bible, you're intolerant. And, you know, that's a hating, you're a hater. And how things are becoming more visible. And the persecution, the personal treatment. The next section, 20 through 24, really speaks about Jerusalem. And how in Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, and then Judea, if you're, you know, great distress in the land. And it says in there, wrath upon this people. And, you know, the Gentiles are going to occupy Jerusalem. And how these things have come to pass. And, you know, how I was reading Josephus talking about how when, you know, the siege, the Romans laid siege against Jerusalem. 1,100,000 Jews died of famine, of the sword, of sickness. And 97,000 were captured and dispersed among the nations. And Jesus prophesying, you know, to his disciples, you know, things are going to get hairy here in Jerusalem. They're going to surround you. The enemy's going to surround you. And how it's taken place, and Gentile occupation, and, you know, up until 1948 or 1967, how the Gentiles did occupy Jerusalem. Now, at the last section, 25 through 27, he says, right at the end, just before the coming of the Son of Man, in Matthew, the Bible tells us that, you know, kind of elaborating a little bit more on this verse, he says, immediately after the tribulation of these days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give off its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I can look around and see things like in the news, and they're distressing and they're disturbing and wicked. You know, we got to be living next to the murder capital of the world. I mean, what's going on in Detroit? I think it's more dangerous than Baghdad. And yet, you know, we see the dangers that surround us and that are prevalent and, you know, causes us concern. We see the instability of the nations, the distress of nations, Jesus calls it, and how Greece, you know, and their turmoil, the instability economically, and Iraq and Iran, and things are just, you know, volatile. In the Midwest, Iran and Israel, and, you know, I don't know, I'm getting older or what, but I'm getting more in tune with this, and it's just like, preparing this message, you know, caused me a lot of consternation. I don't know what it is, man. I'm getting into this, I'm chewing it, and he's, you know, showing me these things. And they're distressful. But, he says, then the heaven, there'll be signs in the heaven. Now, we look around what's happening on earth, and things are bad. But Jesus is saying when it gets closer to the end, you're going to look up, things are going to get wacky. Now, that's when things are going to get really freaky. You know, when, you know, things like the moon, you know, that are in, like, the lunar cycle, and you depend on them, or Polaris, you know, they always say, you know, look at the North Star, it never moves. And these things in our solar system, in our galaxy, and we've come to rely on, hey, you know, things are going crazy around us, but we could always count on, you know, in the heavens. But Jesus said, man, even in signs in the heavens, things are going to get weird, and they're going to escalate and freak out. You know, they used to kind of like there used to be like conventional wisdom you could bank on. Like, I always thought, one of the best investments that you can make is to buy a house. If you buy a house, you'll never regret it. That's some advice I gave my son-in-law, and I regret it. What happened in our lifetime? And, you know, the subprime problem. And it's crazy. And yet, it's just basic conventional wisdom that real estate never devalues. I mean, come on. Look what happened. And everything is kind of turning inside out and going wacko. We live in these days that nothing is stable. Everything's topsy-turvy. And Jesus says it's going to cause distress. And you're going to see these things in the sky. It's going to cause fear. And it's terrifying. Terrorism. But him describing and the reality that things are going to get worse. You can see this is a tough message. You know, hey, let's come to church and, you know, dig in. And yet, what are we supposed to do? The Bible tells us, Jesus, in verse 19, notice, he says, by your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, that's endurance or steadfastness, possess your souls. He's telling us, no matter what takes place, we're to actively, you know, take action in our soul. Our soul is our responsibility. And we're to govern over it no matter what happens. No matter if the world falls down and crumbles, we see things that are just unbelievable before our eyes. Jesus says, possess your souls in patience or endurance. In Matthew it says, you know, those who endure to the end shall be saved. But he says, possess your souls. That word possess means gain. It'll be to our advantage if we take action in the matters of our own spiritual life and soul according to the Scripture, according to the Bible. We're to remain calm. He says, in patience, possess your soul. We're to have peace in the midst of a storm and upheaval and crazy happenings. Self-control in our soul. Mastering over our soul is what it implies. Really to take action by the Spirit is what Jesus is, you know, telling his children to do, his people to do. He tells them, don't be deceived. There's going to be spiritual deception, false Christ. Don't be deceived. There's going to be fearful things that we see with our eyes. Don't be terrified. You know, when things get bleak, don't freak. Yeah. I'm sounding like Joyce Meyer now, right? And we're not to freak, though things are getting bleak. And Jesus said, don't be terrified, don't be fearful. He tells us, possess your souls. In verse 13, he's telling his disciples, you know, you're going to be arrested, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be imprisoned, but it's going to turn out for your good. In verse 13, notice, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testifying, for testimony. When things come against us, when we're assaulted, for his namesake, he says, and we possess our souls in patience, he'll use it for his purpose. Now, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, but must be in a reserved, submitted place with him. Must be in the Spirit. And he says, he promises, hey man, it's going to be good, it's going to be for you. It's going to be for your advantage. Strange, doesn't it sound strange? You be arrested, you be persecuted for his name's sake, and yet it'll be good for you. Because he says, I'll give you a mouth and a spirit. I'll give you wisdom. Don't even meditate on what you're going to say. I'm going to take over, and I'm going to use this opportunity to bring glory to Jesus Christ. It'll turn out for you. Give you wisdom, it says in verse 15. In verse 18, he says, not a hair of your head will be harmed, or you won't lose a hair of your head. Now, that sounds a lot better than I'm doing right now. He says that he'll protect us. Things get hairy. Things get crazy. We can't trust people, anything going on, systems. And yet, he promises to protect us. It's going to take faith to live. As times get on and we get closer to the end, things escalate. Satan is surfacing. You know, I heard some facts the other day about Protestant ministers. I mean, the numbers of Protestant ministers that don't even believe in the Bible anymore. They don't believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. They don't believe in the virgin birth of the Bible. They don't believe, you know, in Jesus being God. And they graduated from seminaries, and they consider themselves on our the body of Christ. They're on our team. And they've disconnected from the truth that's in the Bible. In the end, spiritual deception will be on the rise. Even men of the cloth will be standing up and saying, "Oh, you can't trust the Bible?" It's ridiculous, but it's happening, and it's real, and it's in our life, and we see it, and we hear it. It's the time in which we live. It's going to take faith to live in the end. It's going to take faith to live in our to stay with Christ. It's no longer optional. You know, it's like, you know, you meet Christ, and you know, you get into the Book of Romans, and it's so good, and it's so true. He loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And it's all because of the work on the Christ that brings justification to our souls. I can't do anything. I'm His child because He shed His blood for me, and I believe in that truth. And that loving, gracious reality of the truth. But in the end, when things are going crazy around our eyes and our sight, you can't rely on your sight anymore. It takes faith. It's going to take faith to live. Jesus implies that. You know, in verse 26, notice, he says, "Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Now he says, men's hearts will fail. Remember earlier on, Jesus was saying, you know, don't be discouraged. Don't let your heart fail. Pray always. Pray always. It's kind of the antidote to heart failure, you know, faith, heart failure. And really, this really means heart. It means your heart's going to stop beating. It really, it speaks of death. People are going to be so afraid, they're going to die. Because of not just what's happening around us, but their expectation of it, you know, the paranoia, and then their fear that's going to exploit it and make it bigger than it is. And it's disconcerting, disheartening. And Jesus said men's hearts will fail because of it. But then he says what implies to live by faith. Look in verse 28. He said, "Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws nigh." When you see these things beginning to happen, I'm seeing them beginning to happen for sure. I know things are on the rise. We can't even excuse them anymore. Oh, that's been happening all along. You know, these supercells, all these tornadoes, 50 tornadoes coming through at one time. Oh, that's happening all the time. Baloney is happening all the time. And in March. It's ridiculous. You know, it makes a good study. I've heard facts and stuff, but look it up. If you have an inkling of doubt, look it up. You know, for killer quakes or these supercells, or tornadoes, numbers. And notice, you Google how they are on the increase per decade. As things get closer to the end and the whacked out things that are going on, Jesus said, look up. When you see these things begin to happen, he doesn't say look around. You know, he doesn't say look in. You know, it's interesting because, you know, he says to the Jews, and I know he's speaking to the Jews. He says that, you know, you're in Jerusalem, flee to the mountains. If you're in Judea, don't come back to Jerusalem. Don't come back in the city. You know, where will you run? Where will your refuge be? And people are, you know, like trying to set themselves up for the future. I was talking to this trucker a while back, and I believe in this revival, you know, mentality. Got a farm. You know, he's working, making some money, putting it away. Got some crops. Got some sheep. He'll be one of the first ones that the the raiders hit. I mean, he's got food. But the idea of, you know, we can set ourselves up. Go to the mountains. Live in the mountains. No, the Bible tells us, you know, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it. He's our refuge. We have to run into Him. Don't look in. You know, so often, what can I do? I suffer from this one. You know, because I need to do something. And, you know, I feel like I have to respond. I got to do it. Hey, I'm here. This is what I'm supposed to do. I got to do something. And yet, Jesus says, don't look in. Don't look around. Don't look at the things, the problems, you know, the stress of the nations, the crazy influences and the fearful germs and bugs and everything. Look up. Look at me. Look at me, because he says, your redemption draws nigh. Get closer. Live by faith. Get strong. Possess your souls. Turn your hearts open for Jesus. That's what he, that's end times, you know, fortification. Live by faith. Open your heart. It's interesting, you know, look at me, look up, when you see these things beginning to happen. Look at verse 33. He says, you know, we're to look at the eternal, for it will not be shaken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We can trust his word. It brings peace. You know, if you're going through something, you're under attack, you've been persecuted, or, you know, spiritually, if you're on the right track, you're going to get attacked. Here I go, Joyce Meyer's again. When things get bleak, don't freak. But we are going to feel opposition spiritually. If we do what Jesus tells us to do, live by faith, if we open our heart to him, we're going to feel repercussions. But Jesus says, look up. Not a harm of your, not a hair of your head will be harmed. He promises to protect us, to be with us. And to look at the things that are stable, eternal, look up, look at him. Cultivate our relationship with him. Look at his words. It's interesting. He said, heaven and earth are going to pass away. Man, things are going to go crazy and haywire. And another truth about prophecy and definition about the end. You know, we think of, hey, the end of the world, what will it be like? You know, it's not like that. Everything's going to be annihilated completely and, you know, poof, you know, the earth's gone. But in the book of Revelation, he describes what he's going to bring an end to. It's the kingdom of man. It's the worldly system. And the Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. In Revelation 6:7, he says, you know, hey, the wrath of the Lamb is coming. Who can stand? When he pours out his wrath and punishment on sin, judgment on the world because of man's sin and rebellion against him, he's destroying the worldly system. The rock, the stone that came out of the sea, you know, formed without hands, crushes the world empires. And he sets up his kingdom. So the end states or declares biblical definition. It's the end of the worldly system, man's system. We're to look at him, what's stable, what's eternal, our souls. You know, our souls are eternal. Possess your souls. The Bible tells us that he's an anchor for our soul, Jesus Christ, behind the veil. Our relationship with him is an anchor for our soul. Cultivate, live in that faith, stay close to him, is the encouragement that he brings. It'll bring peace, the only thing that'll bring peace. Final exhortation in verse 34. He says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life, and the day come on you unexpectedly. Be sober, be vigilant. Not only stay close to him in our heart, maintain speaking terms, be in a good right relationship with him. Don't take for granted what you know. Don't bank on what we used to do. We have to be alive and living in an active faith with him today. Okay, but he says don't be, you know, carousing. That word actually means, it's a medical term, and it actually means hangover. Don't have a hangover. Don't get loaded. Don't escape to intoxicants for some kind of relief from this crazy world. Drugs, miracle, medical, marijuana. Alcohol, yeah. He tells us to take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. you know, loaded down. If your heart's connected to something else, you're in a dangerous place. I'm in a dangerous place. If my heart's connected, and he says you're putting your trust in something, carousing, drunkenness. He says the cares of this life. Stay sober. Stay connected to him. In verse 35, he describes the condition of man. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Over and over again in the book of Revelation, as God pours out his wrath on man, it talks about the earth dwellers. Those who dwell on the earth. Those who are connected to this world, life, planet. And dwell on the face of the earth. The wrath of the Lamb is coming. Judgment is coming. He says, don't get connected here. Connect with him. Lord, help us. Lest you be ensnared, he says. It'll create a snare. And then in verse 35, he says, the final exhortation, watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now that would, that's hope. You know, this whole chapter, I chewed on despair for a while. And yet the hope, he says, pray always. We're to stay connected with him. Remember earlier, like I said before, hey, your heart's just, don't be disheartened. Pray always. Stay in a right relationship. Are you in a right relationship with him this morning? You know, if you are, despair is overturned by hope. Because the hope that he brings, he says, pray always, son. Jesus is not going to abandon us. And he says, pray that you're worthy to escape these things. Hey, we're worthy because the Bible tells us of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And our faith in Christ alone makes us worthy. But stay connected in that truth. Don't bank or refuge somewhere else. The end's going to get hairy. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be connected, counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. That speaks of the rapture. Pray always. This is a good practice. Praying that we're going to be in the rapture. Take me out of here, Lord. When you start pouring out your judgment, take me out of here. Get me out of here. Before it begins. So, in the end, it's going to take faith, take spirit, take heart. That's going to bring us victory over fear. And it's a choice to live with Jesus and for Jesus. He says, possess your souls. It means to engage. Hey, take an action. You know, that's one thing. Jesus isn't a wimp. He's not saying, hey, believe in Jesus. You know, in your imagination. He's saying, you know, lay down your life, pick up your cross and follow me. That's how we engage and follow and stay close. And to do our part, and we can bank and be sure he's going to do his part. It's interesting, he says, you know, pray always. Don't freak, don't wig. You know, when things get bleak, don't freak. Pray always that you're counted worthy to escape these things and to stand before Jesus Christ. To stand before the Son of Man. He'll do his part. And Jude, the Bible tells us, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.